Yeah.
My issue is bread.
White bread, butter bread, sugar bread, tea bread, all types of bread, all types of bread.
Me and bread were like this. I didn't realise that people were doing exercise after we finished school. And when I finished having to do compulsory PE lessons, I just didn't exercise.
Right, okay.
I just didn't. But when I did see girls going to the gym, it was to grow their bum.
Right, right.
And I don't need to do that.
Yeah.
I want to say that the weight I'm carrying is a weight of years of hard work, perseverance, to the point that I believe I became an insecure overachiever.
Ooh.
That's affected most of my 20s. Like, I was losing hair. Physical signs of stress
are manifesting now, and it's like, yeah,
this is not okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wonder if I was just, because I was just so stressed, I just wasn't thinking about food. I don't look at people in the eye when I'm in the gym, because I'm just like embarrassed. Like, they'll be thinking, why is she doing like the 5 kg or the 10 kg?
But you know what, I think that's something to talk about, because I think this is probably what even deters people from going to the gym.
Yeah,
like, you have to be there pushing like 40 kg all the time.
I don't,
it's like,
have it in me.
I'm just a girl.
Yeah, I'm just a girl.
I think we think too much about how we feel. And whilst those things can be true, we also then have to override that and be like, but is it good for my body? Mm-hmm. I think value systems play a big part in how disciplined we are of certain things.
It's, in the recent years, I feel like I'm seeing weight in places that I didn't see before.
Right. So yeah.
I feel like it was a mix of my age, mm-hmm. being in COVID, yeah. and being quite stressed out with law school. Right. I started to like gain weight that wasn't shifting. And one of my problems is that I don't like doing things that I don't like to do. So...
Guys, welcome back to another episode of the Weight of It podcast. We talk about all things fitness, health, and weight related. We have a special guest. I say it all the time. But I have to say it all the time, because this is a personal special guest for me. I have my very, very good friend, Christiane, in the room.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, babe.
Hey.
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 So, yeah, for context, Christiane is one of my close friends. I've been friends with her for over a decade now, hon.
Yeah. Since like 13 years.
Yeah, wow. Crazy.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell the people who you are?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Christiane. I am a lawyer. What else?
You hear that? Did they hear? Say it again. I don't know if they heard.
I'm a lawyer.
One more time. I don't know if they heard.
I'm a lawyer.
That's my lawyer friend. So anybody that's thinking to do something with my podcast, I've got a lawyer on the team. When I say my legal team, this is who I'm referring to.
Yeah, I've got you.
But yeah, so we're here to talk about, obviously, like, Christiane's fitness journey. But it might be good for you guys just to know, like, how we know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So... I think Christiane probably begged it with me in college. That's probably how it happened. And I was like, oh, she's just moved to Leuven for the first time. Like, she's from London.
Do you know
I'll
what?
Be friendly.
I wanna like back myself, but I feel like there's probably some truth to that.
No, I was actually joking. I don't think
you know what? Yeah, but like, I literally just did move from London to Leuven. Yeah. And I was like, I was on the phone to Nisa literally every day that week, or the first week of college. I was like, I don't have any friends, Nisa. She's like, so you'll be all right. Don't worry about it. And then I feel like, do you know what? No, I never begged it for you, with you. I never did. Because I remember, I feel like it was a natural friendship.
Yeah, it was.
Black History Month. Do you remember Black History Month?
And we thought we were them girls.
Yeah. So it was I feel like we got the same bus.
Yeah.
Like, from the bus. But yeah. Then, like, we had that Black History Month showcase.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh, let's do an African dance.
Yeah. No, we were just actually just a main character. You know when a main character meets a main character? That's literally what happened. We were like,
yeah.
I remember I just got bundles for the first time.
Yeah, I got Brazilian
hair for the first time. And Christian was like, where'd you get it from?
What's this? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I had just got a job for the first time, so I had a bit of money.
Yeah. And then you came with your Brazilian hair.
Yeah.
And we just thought with them girls, because we had Brazilian hair.
We literally did like an African showcase. Dance, and I remember the last move was us
flicking our hair. No, I remember.
And then we just connected.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, I see. She sees me.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then you started going raving.
Yeah, you were going
underage.
Underage.
Yeah.
It's quite funny as a lawyer.
Yeah. I have a past.
You were literally using anybody's
ID. Anyone had turned 18, I would borrow their ID.
Yeah, and I would encourage it.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to the raves together. Yeah. And then, like, literally, I think by the time we got to uni, we were just, she'll be in Leicester, I'll be in Brunel. Mm-hmm. We had a schedule.
Yeah.
We had a Raven schedule.
After results day,
yeah, we sat down together,
and we said, okay, cool. These are the raves happening in the different unis. Okay, cool. I'll come to you, Leicester. From Leicester, we'll go Coventry.
Yeah.
From Coventry, we'll go there.
Yeah.
Like, we planned it.
I think we sat down at McDonald's, you know?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, we sat down at McDonald's, and it was, guys, serious business meeting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Serious.
Remember when we planned Barfest?
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, the top.
The top, yeah. Like, this was a build-up. It was a build-up. It was, like, prep for the ultimate rave of the raves.
Yes. For the end of year. We were so gassed to go Barfest.
Oh my God. Do you know what? I miss that, like, that level of excitement for uni. Not to study, by the way. Just to actually be in the...
Forget the course.
Education was cool.
To rave.
Like, every rave. You know, to the point that people probably thought you even came Leicester. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
You're always at DMU. If I came Brunel, it was not for nothing else but to rave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we took it so seriously. Yeah, we did. Wow, we were committed.
Yeah. Well, we're also doing really well in life, so...
Yeah, you know.
There's no harm in doing that when you're younger.
So, yeah, that's, I guess, how we met. That's really funny. Wow, yeah, we flicked the weaves.
Yeah, that was, like, that was the moment for me when we flicked the
weaves. Yeah, you were like, there's a star. She's a star.
Exactly.
No, I love that. Yeah, so, guys, that's how our friendship basically started. And you've been good friends since. Like she said, she's a lawyer now. And, yeah, I think what I wanted to kind of touch on was, like, your fitness journey. Because I think even just being your friend, you've never been someone to me that's ever needed to go gym.
Yeah.
Like, to work out. Like, literally. And then I just feel like overnight, you just started working out and going to the gym.
Maybe for you it was overnight.
Really?
It wasn't for me.
But I just feel like... I don't remember you ever, like, it's not been a discussion, if that makes sense. Like,
it's been an internal battle.
Right. Okay. So that's what
it's been.
Yeah. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I feel like, I didn't realise that people were doing exercise after we finished school. I feel like I didn't get the memo that people were, like out of their choice, like, they were actually continuing exercise. I feel like, we had PE in school, we had sports there and whatnot.
Yeah.
And when I finished having to do compulsory PE lessons, I just didn't exercise.
Right, okay.
I just didn't.
But you thought no one else was?
Yeah, I didn't know that other people were doing that. I mean, like, the boys, you would hear them talking about the gym and whatnot. Yeah. But I feel like when I did see girls going to the gym, it was to grow their bum.
Right.
And I don't need to do that.
Yeah. Period. You heard what she said.
So this is a Congolese woman.
She didn't need to do that.
I was like, oh, cool. Like, do your squats, girl. Like, double tap or whatever. But, like, I didn't know.
You said, that's cute and whatever. That's cute, baby girl.
Yeah. I was like, cool. Like, the girls who go to gym is because they want to grow a big bum. Yeah. And the boys always went, or they did, football or whatnot.
Yeah.
So I feel like I just didn't get the memo. So, like, I was in uni, I didn't go to gym. Tell a lie, I signed up once on my placement year.
Yeah.
But I was bored.
Okay.
So I went to the gym for, like, a few months, and then I then did this Congo.
Oh, okay.
So I got a new little distraction.
Yeah.
And then finishing uni, I just didn't think I needed to.
Right.
And I feel like I was quite busy just trying to get a job. But then I feel like I started to get to my mid-20s.
Yeah.
And, like, the weight that used to shift quite easy just no longer was shifting as easy as it was before.
Right.
But I feel like before, if I saw a little bit of, like, belly weight,
yeah,
I would just eat better for a few weeks.
Okay, and then it would go.
It would go.
Okay.
When, like 25 onwards, the weight just wasn't shifting.
That 25th year?
Yeah, it just wasn't shifting.
Something about that 25th year.
And I turned 25 and COVID.
Right.
It didn't help that we were also, like, stuck at home.
Yeah.
I wasn't even, like, you know, even just walking to the train station.
Yeah, the steps.
I'm exercising a bit.
Yeah.
I wasn't even doing things like that.
Yeah.
And I was also in law school that same year. So I feel like it was a mix of my age, being in COVID, and being quite stressed out with law school.
Right.
I started to, like, gain weight that wasn't shifting.
So how was it, like, the first, because you're used to, like, even if you do gain, you just eat better and it goes. Mm-hmm. How was it when you actually just, like, you realise, okay, I'm putting a bit of weight, let me just eat better, and then it didn't go? How was that?
That, like, was very humbling.
Right.
Very humbling.
Yeah.
You know, you shower every morning, you come out and you're like, I'm about to cream myself. And every time I look in the mirror, I'm like, I'm not happy with what I see.
Right. So it's just like, it's not going. Okay. And then how was that whole process like for you?
I think then I thought, okay, I'll get myself a PT. Because I feel like one of my problems is that I don't like doing things I don't like to do. So I've occasionally tried the gym.
Yeah.
But like, I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, the only way I will be able to go to the gym is if I get myself a PT.
Yeah.
So I got a PT. So that worked for a little while, but then I kind of stopped and then I moved as well. So then I had to get a new PT close to where I was after. And I would only say like maybe in the last year or so that I've started to take my fitness seriously and start to think about food. Because I think another thing that you've always taken the mick out of me for, and your mum, is that I just don't eat.
Yeah. For context, guys, like, Chrisanne cannot enter my house and my mum won't comment on the fact that, are you eating?
I don't know why. I'm not small.
Yeah, same. I don't know why, because I've definitely, like, yeah, because she didn't say that to, like, thank you.
No, say it to you.
Like, even if I tell her, like, oh, Christian, she's like, how is she? Is she eating? Like, always concerned. Yeah. I don't know. Mums are different. I don't know what she was seeing. But, like, I know, like, food is just something you just don't think about.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I as a friend, like, you'll never be the person I'm like, oh, what should we eat? There's no point asking you.
No, like, yeah, honestly, like, I don't think about food. But to be fair, I feel like things have changed now. But like for most of like my teenage years, early 20s, like I just ate because you have to. Like even in school, like at lunchtime, I just ate because it's lunchtime and we have to eat.
Yeah.
And that kind of continued like even in college. And I feel like when I was in uni, I ate because, again, because you had to. But it was also kind of like I'm doing long hours, like, you know, doing your lectures, seminars, library and whatnot. So you have to like kind of eat to keep going.
Yeah.
But part of me wonders as well is, if like I'm prone to getting stressed, like I get stressed so easy, and I wonder if I was just because I was just so stressed I just wasn't thinking about food. And I feel like in the last couple of years I've been managing my stress better, which is good, but also means that I'm eating more.
Oh, okay.
I'm less stressed and I don't that's not like taking too much of my like mental capacity anymore
to think about. Okay, that makes sense. So when you now like you've realized you put on the weight, you've got like a PT and things like that, and I guess now like going deeper into your mid-20s, how was like your fitness looking like for you? Because even though you said like I don't feel like you put on weight like the way I'm assuming you probably felt like you did. I just felt you looked thicker. Do you remember when we went to Ibiza? Sis, like you kind of looked donk. But you always had shape to me, but like you were like, oh god, it's because I put on weight. And I'm thinking, this is nice. Like some people are lying on the table for this. Like
No, you're right, but you know, people, you never see yourself the way other people see you.
Yeah.
And because I know what I looked like before.
Yeah.
When you said that, I was at my biggest at the time. I weigh even more now, which is crazy to me. But like at the time, I was at my biggest I'd ever weighed before.
Right.
And I feel like, I don't know, how would you even describe my body? Like, I don't know if I'm slim or slim thick. I just feel like I'm just average looking.
I think to me, you're slim with a big bum. That's how I would.
So I feel like that was me for a while, but in the recent years, I feel like I'm seeing weight in places that I didn't see before.
Right. But then I feel like, do you feel like at the time when, like, for example, like when I was saying like, oh, like, girl, you're looking good and thick and all that stuff. Do you feel like it's because you're comparing yourself to almost like your pre-20s body? Because I think sometimes as well, so let's say how you looked at 21. So you're looking at like you want to slim down to that, but you're actually at 20, like, you know, 21, you're like a baby. So do you feel like it's also trying to comprehend that this might be like not like
my womanly body.
Yeah, because I feel like even when I look, so I think the slimmest I've been, funny enough, was when I was 25, but that was when I was 500 for I even went a bit too far with it. But so now when I'm like in the gym, I'm thinking of that, but it's like, babe, you are a whole 30-year-old woman. Like you're even like in your womanly body, there's even like levels to it. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm deeper.
Yeah.
So I can't constantly keep trying to compete with like 24-year-old, 25-year-old.
Yeah. That's true. Maybe that's something I need to like think about. I'm not sure. But I think there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
But I still feel like, for example, I feel like my face is really round. And to the point that, like, when I take pictures, I'm insecure about how round my face is. So, like, I don't know if that's necessarily a womanly body or if generally, like, I feel like I've put on weight, like, even on my face, I can see it.
Wow. I'm honestly, I think the women's eyes is so interesting because this is, like, when I was talking to S about her jaw. It's like, I can't see what you see, babe. Like,
one of my friends, Ruth, she always says that I look like a Malteser.
Oh, okay. Well, wait a minute. Cut the cameras.
Yeah, like, that's what she says to me.
That really took me. That really, really. A Malteser.
Yeah, that's what she says. So like,
I know, maybe I'm just more of your loving friends because me, I don't see a Malteser.
So when I have that in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, maybe. But to be fair, it's not because of her, but like I've always thought my face is looking around her. And when she said, I was like, oh, okay. I guess it is.
She said first.
Yeah.
What? But then do you feel, so when you're like trying to like, I guess, lose weight, mm-hmm. like what you, with the journey you're on, what is your goal? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, is it literally like 23-year-old Christiane, or is it like you actually know what you want your body to look like?
Do you know what? It's a bit of both. Mm-hmm. And I, what you said just before is resonating with me because I remember being 24 mm-hmm. and at work we had this free healthcare day kind mm-hmm. of thing. Mm-hmm. So that there's a company came in and then they were like weighing us. They were giving us our, what's it called when they give you your age because of your stats?
I don't know. Oh, well, like when they tell you how like your fitness level is at.
Yeah, for your age. Yeah. So they did something like that. And then like I remember I got like the best score for like the age. Like I was like, I think something like, oh, I'm 19, even though I was like 24. And then right. like, all of my colleagues were like, oh my God, what? Like all of ours were like older than we are and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So when I started to put on weight a few years later, like, well, a couple of years later, like a year or two a bit, I remember thinking, oh my God, like at 24, I remember that this was my fitness level. And I remember that I weighed this particular mm-hmm. kg. Mm-hmm. So now when I think about that, it's like, that's kind of my goal. Mm-hmm. But in the same breath, I have to think about, okay, well, like you just said, I was 24.
Yeah, early
20s. So maybe I shouldn't aim for that. But I want to get as close as possible.
Yeah.
Ideally, I just want to like lose the weight that I see like on my face, on my arms and my belly. That's my biggest thing. Because me and, you know, we're talking about foods and you know you gotta do more protein, less carbs.
Yeah.
My issue is bread.
Okay. That's bread. Like an African thing. To
really?
Say. My issue is bread.
Like me and bread, we're like this.
5 and 6. Y'all can feel real bad.
So that's the belly, like I just cannot get rid of that. So now it's like, okay, how do I like,
and you're in the how, you got family around, like the bread is breading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like if I conquer that the belly will go, but like that's the one, that's the hardest thing for me to conquer.
Yeah, I get that. And so I wanted to just circle back to like fitness. So like you stopped fitness at PE, like you said, that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your service. It was compulsory until then.
Yeah. So when you now realize that people are actually still continuing.
Yeah.
When you had that awakening.
To the best of my knowledge. Yeah.
And then you started going to the gym. Like how, and you don't like the gym. What does your fitness look like now? And how did you navigate realizing, okay, I hate the gym, I need to work out? Like how did you navigate that whole thing?
That was tough because, I just didn't enjoy going to the gym.
Yeah.
So I started off by convincing myself that I will only go and do like classes that I like.
Okay.
And I'm talking like as basic as just going to do a yoga class.
Oh, okay.
And leaving.
Like, okay. So real like low impact, low minimal sweat.
Yeah, yeah. Because like, I know if I went, did something I didn't like, I know that I would tell myself I'm not going back.
Yeah, okay.
So I was like, okay, if I go and do something I like and I just get used to the surrounding, like the smell of the gym. Because even, like, I feel like gym smells a bit funny.
You know, you are somebody that really hates that gym.
Yeah, yeah, for real. That I'm down to the smell.
Down to the smell.
So I thought, like, if I just get used to being in the gym, eventually I can, like, it just can become my norm. So I thought by just going classes that I like so very like low impact yoga, even just like stretching classes.
Yeah.
And then going home. And then I started to go, when I moved back to Luton, I then started going to a really fun class by one of the PTs at uni.
Oh, that guy we spoke about before. Yeah.
Everyone loves So he plays like good music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, I love my music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He plays piano.
So I would go to his classes and I'd be like, I'm doing weights and whatnot, but I'm listening to music.
You're raving. Look at this one. It hasn't happened.
Clearly, I'm still a raver. So I'm like, cool. Like, I can pump these weights and I listen to my piano. So you know now I'm trying to make that association of like a positive association with the gym for myself.
Okay.
So I think that's what kind of helped me get into it. And just like not having the, not having shame in doing like the low impact stuff or low weights. I think someone else came on and said that she does like the smallest weights.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I do that.
Yeah.
I just.
No, and look at you like, I do that. Yeah, that's fine.
I don't look at people in the eye when I'm in the gym because I'm just like embarrassed. Like, they'll be thinking, why is she doing like the 5 kg or the 10 kg?
But you know what? I think that's something to talk about because I think this is probably what even deters people from going to the gym.
Yeah.
Like you have to be there pushing like 40 kg all the time.
I
it's
don't
like,
have it in me.
I'm just a girl.
Yeah, I'm just a girl.
Like, no, I think it's good to hear that, like, because you don't like the gym, but knowing that even as you go, you're just going to do what you can. Mm-hmm. And with that, over time, you will, like, increase it over, like, maybe, but maybe not.
Yeah, maybe I will. Because even, like, the treadmill, for example, I started by just doing 5 minutes.
Yeah.
At like a very low level,
just
walking pace.
Yeah.
Now I can do 10.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the most recent one I've done like 15. One day, maybe I will run it.
Yeah.
But you know,
just pacing yourself.
Yeah. Now. And I feel like if I do that, and I feel like like little steps, you know, higher level, more weights and whatnot. Eventually, I will get to where I need to be in terms of like my strength and my cardio.
Yeah.
But for now, I just want to enjoy the gym.
Yeah. Sis, I actually forgot to ask you the question I ask everybody on this podcast.
We just got too carried away.
Yeah, we just got carried away. Sorry, guys. This is my girl. So we forgot the cameras are even rolling.
Yeah, yeah, for real.
So, my good sis, you know the name of this podcast and the question I ask all my guests. So, what weight are you carrying?
It's a good question.
Okay, excited to answer.
I was thinking about it, like, you know, and I was thinking, like, when I knew I was coming, I was thinking about, like, what am I going to say? And like, I had a few thoughts, but I just thought, do you know what? I feel like, I want to say that the weight I'm carrying is a weight of like years of hard work, perseverance, to the point that I believe I became an insecure overachiever.
Ooh. Whoa.
I didn't know you were going to go like that.
Like, yeah, no, you don't even know because I know you. So it's like, wow, okay.
Yeah, I feel like I've always done well in like school and whatnot. And obviously, thank God, now I'm in a really good career. But sometimes it's to my own detriment. Mm. And I feel like I describe myself as a recovering insecure overachiever now. Mm. I feel like that's the way I'm carrying, because I feel like that's affected most of my 20s, definitely most of my 20s. Even the stuff I've said before, like I feel like that was always in the back of my mind as well.
Yeah.
So that's the way I'm carrying.
Wow, that's a heavy weight, sis. And wait, so I want to ask, what does an insecure overachiever mean and what does that look like?
What it means is like generally it's like being a perfectionist,
right?
Being good at stuff,
yeah,
being good at things, excelling at things, but the source of it isn't always a good thing,
right?
And I feel like you've been such a good friend to me in that, like, you always like back me. You always like, when I've got anything I'm worried about, you'll be like, no, you're fine, and then you'll like, you know, convince me that things will be fine. But I swear to you, I've always doubted that I could do what I've been able to do.
Okay.
Like, I've always doubted that I'd finish my degree.
Yeah.
I doubted that I'd get into law school. I doubted that I'd qualify as a lawyer. Mm. I doubted all of these different things that I've, like, put myself into. Projects I've like, put myself into. Like,
yeah.
I've always doubted that they will do well.
Yeah.
And when that's, like, in the back of your mind, it means that you work harder to make sure what you've got in mind actually comes to fruition and the execution is good. So I'm so proud of myself for the things I do, but then it's always like that niggly thing about like, I'm not good enough. Okay, so work harder just to overcome that.
Right.
So in one respect, like, it's good because in the career I'm in, you have to kind of think deeply about things and get it right and not ever like be careless.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it also means that like, I just get stressed so easily. To the point, I don't know if I've told you this, but like during COVID, like I was losing hair.
Wow. And that was when you were in law school as well.
Yeah. Exactly. I was losing hair. And then that was like, oh, okay, physical signs of stress.
I'm manifesting now. And it's like,
this is not okay.
Yeah.
This is not okay.
Oh, babe. No, it's like, and I guess as a friend, I just see it as like, you're that friend that just gets it done. Like, you were, even like, for example, when you finished uni, you're going to law school, it wasn't like, I know there was obviously time you had to persevere in, maybe jobs you didn't want to be in, but like, it was never for a second where I thought, this isn't going to happen. So even when you got into law school, even when you got like, I don't know, you know when like, you're happy for your friend, but it's almost like, well, duh. Like, do you know what I mean?
You.
Yeah, for me, I'm like, I'm celebrating you, but it's like, this was all part of the plan. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's just certain things, like, I think we all have friends who are really skilled in certain things, and there's just certain friends you have, like, when they say they're going to do this, they're going to do it. So I think you're one of those friends for me. So like, when you were doing your lessons, you said you're getting a car, you got a car. When you said you're moving out, you moved. Like, it's not just you say something and then it just, like, fizzles. So, but I didn't know that this was obviously, like,
motivation. And I completely agree, but then sometimes it's linked to, like, oh, shit, like, I don't think I can do this. I didn't think I could get my driving license. I got my license at 19, But like literally as soon as I started uni, I was like, okay, we're doing lessons. Mm. I failed my test many times.
I remember, yeah, you remember.
I failed my test loads of times. But, yeah. And I think that's because nerves got to me each time.
Right.
Nerves of like, I don't know if I can do this, even though I could drive.
But so is it like you're still doing the, so would you say it's almost like you feel the fear, but you still do it?
Yeah.
Like, literally,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the saying, like, feel the fear. But then I guess it sounds like the fear was getting to a point where it was kind of like crippling, I guess.
Yeah, crippling is the word. Yeah. Sometimes it is definitely crippling and that's so unhealthy.
Yeah. And I guess that's really interesting because we do use this in like our language and it just do it. Like you're going to be a bit anxious, but just do it. Mm-hmm. But then I guess it's like, where is the stop? Where's the line where it's like, no, this thing, is, like the fear is crippling now. You need to pause. You need to rest. You need to, do you know what I mean? How do you balance? How do you know the difference between the two? Do you know what I mean? Because like in one argument, you could be like, well, yeah, you were maybe like feeling that you're not able to do this stuff and you had this doubt, but you still had to keep pushing because some people would say that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
But then it's like, how do you then get to the point where you realise, no, I've gone too far. Like, I actually need to reset or, do you know what I mean? But I'm thinking maybe it's motivations because I think the stuff you've done is really great, but I guess it's the motivator or it shouldn't necessarily be the doubt.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't expect that. Oh, but I'm happy you said that you're recovering.
Yeah, I'm much better now.
Good.
I am much better now. But I think one day I just realised, like, when I look back at, like, the stuff I've done, a lot of it, there's always, like, a niggling thought in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Like, is it even possible?
Yeah.
And that crippling me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm happy that you're recovering from that.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing the way. I'm sure, like, there might be somebody who's listening right now who's going to, like resonate with that. Mm. But also, you're good at what you do and you deserve to be doing what you're doing. And tell that enemy to be quiet with his
Yeah, no,
his
definitely. Fear. Like, you know, we actually did this IG Live a couple of years ago.
Yeah, we did.
And we spoke about imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
I do not have any imposter syndrome at all.
You heard
anymore.
It.
Like,
you heard it.
That is not something I align myself with at all. Like,
yeah.
I've worked hard and I'm proud of myself for that.
Full stop.
Yeah, like, I don't, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's, I love that for you, sis. And I'm happy that it's something that, like, you're in a better place as well. Because, yeah, isn't life so interesting? Because you just never would think that. I would never have thought that's something you think you...
That you... Really?
No. I just thought, actually, now a lawyer, we're going Ibiza. we're just in, like, you know? And even the stuff that we have spoken about on, like, a deeper level, they haven't necessarily touched on that. So, yeah, I wouldn't have... Yeah.
But I think, do you know what it is? Because I probably will talk to you and tell you I'm worrying about something. And then you'll just be like, no, Christiane, like, why are you worrying? And then, like, you talk me out of it. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe Rose is right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that the worry...
has gone.
Yeah. And, I mean, sometimes it will go after a while, but it's like, I had the worry to begin with.
Yeah. Oh, wow, I'm happy you're in a better place, though, sis.
Thank you.
Aww. Oh, that was quite a nice little heart-to-heart on camera. So yeah, I did want to go back to what you said about fitness quickly because another, like, this is like a running joke I used to have with Christiane, probably since we first become friends, about she's a bit of a tired babe sometimes, a bit of a sleepy babe. And I think this is where we're like polar opposite. Like,
You have like energy.
I just have so imagine, guys, I'm somebody who, like, even when I went to, like, from really tender, I didn't nap. Like, everyone was taking naps. I'll just be fine. Like, I don't really... I would say I nap at home sometimes, but, like, historically, I'm not a napper. Mm-hmm. Historically, I'm not somebody that, like, just needs to take a seat or anything. I'm just...
Yeah, you just...
I'm just on go, but you're a tired, sleepy babe sometimes. Yeah. And I'd be like, XC, wake up, and you're like, Rose, slow down. And it's like...
Yeah,
we're just very different there. But then I used to just have a running joke because of the fact you're anemic.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, anemia is actually a very serious thing, by the way, guys. Don't laugh at it. It's not something to be laughing about. But it was something I would just like, oh, there goes that anemia again. But I'm just saying, so the reason I brought that up is thinking about the fact you don't, like, you're not a fan of the gym, but you're trying to find fitness in a way that works for you. But then you've also got anemia.
Yeah.
How does that in any way impact your fitness levels?
Definitely. But I don't know if it impacts my fitness level or more so like my motivation because I am generally always tired.
Yeah.
So I really respect people that go to the gym first thing in the morning. That has never been my story.
And you know that's me.
Yeah, I know that's you, but that has never been my story.
Yeah.
What? Like, wake up and go to the gym.
Yeah.
when I'm just struggling to wake up to get to work, but you want me to wake up even earlier?
Yeah.
And go to the gym?
Yeah.
Like, I just can't. So that makes it hard, first of all, to do things the right way, because I know that that's like the ideal time to go to the gym. So I usually can only go to the gym in the evenings.
I think that's fine, you know. I don't think there is there? I don't think there is like a right or wrong time to go to the gym, though.
People say that it's the best time to go.
I think in the morning I do prefer, because I've got most energy. In the evening, I went to gym in the evening, Monday, Tuesday. I had nothing to give the gym. I was tired. I just wanted to sleep. But in the morning, when I went yesterday, I burnt so much. I was sweat because I had just energy.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know people go in the evenings and they're, I don't know.
But then I feel like, you know what you just said, like after a long day of work.
Yeah, especially your kind of job.
Yeah, so then it's sometimes like if I'm having a good day, then great, I'll go to the gym in the evening. But sometimes it's like, I've had such a busy day at work.
Yeah.
I just actually can't go.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm actually still working into late into the evening. So
yeah.
I actually can't even go even if I wanted to.
Yeah.
So which means I might skip a day and then what that becomes a few days, then it becomes a week and whatnot. Then you just can't keep up with it.
Yeah.
And like because of the anemia, sometimes I just want to go to bed.
Yeah.
I just want to sleep.
Yeah.
And I think also linked to that as well, I've got another health condition that affects like my ability to concentrate, focus, and also linked to the stress. So having those two combined, it just makes it so difficult to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my life.
No, but then like, so what would you say are the things you're able to do that are helping you be able to get up and go? Because like you said, you're not the only tired babe I know. I think all my whole friendship group is anemic. I think.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, no, literally. I don't understand so many tired babes.
Do you know what? It's kind of like accepting the anemia. And first of all, just trying to get on top of my iron levels all the time.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's difficult as a woman because monthly,
your iron
will go down. So
yeah.
Then, like, I've come to the point where when I know I'm due, the week before, I will make sure I'm, like, taking more iron than usual.
Okay, good.
I'll make sure, like, I'll do, like, a smoothie that has, like, kale, spinach, apple for some sugar and whatnot.
Yeah.
I'll just make sure, like, ahead of it, I try and, like, kind of, what's the word, like, stop the effects of knowing that my iron's going to go down and I'm going to feel really low for a bit.
Yeah.
So I try and do that, and maybe even a week after my period, I will try and do, again, have more like iron to just, I guess, balance it out.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I try and do to make sure, like, I at least, like, fight the anemia back.
Yeah. No, that one, tussle back.
Yeah.
Let them know who's boss.
Exactly. But then I just try, like, when I do have energy, I try and go.
Yeah.
So because I tend to work long hours, I feel like I'm now relaxed on doing things in the daytime. So maybe I'll just go at, let's say I might just go at 4 p.m. to the gym.
Okay, so you go in the day instead.
Yeah, when I know I've got energy. But then I just know that it just means that when I come back at like 5 or 6, it just means I'll just work into the evening.
Okay.
But at least I've done the exercise for the day.
Yeah.
And I think also, what's the other word? Discipline and schedule. Just trying to figure out, okay, when can I realistically go in the week, and just committing to that, and just making it like second nature.
Yeah.
Or like trying to add exercise in ways that I may not think to. So for example, I recently visited a church, which is not too far from my house, and it was like a 10-minute walk to the church. But I also know that there's a way like around like woods and whatnot to bring me back to my house. That would take me an hour. So rather than going back 10 minutes to my house, I just took literally the long way home.
So
I walked for an hour.
Yeah.
And I was on a Sunday. So I was like, okay, cool, I've got some exercise in today.
Okay, so actually just trying to find ways to slot it into
your week. Otherwise I would have just gone home in 10 minutes and probably just like watch TV or something.
Okay. And like, obviously you are a lawyer babe, you're a legal babe. By the way, guys, I just want to just add a little side note. I had a case. I just want to talk about this quickly. I had a case. It was a road traffic case.
Can I just butt in now?
No, because I
want to butt in. I want to say I am a commercial disputes lawyer.
Yeah.
Continue.
As I said, I had a road and traffic.
A criminal case.
No one was hurt. It was not that kind of case. It's just something to do with like points, you know. Nothing that crazy. I allegedly had too many points or whatever. And I thought, do you know what? I need a lawyer because these homeboys trying to take me to court. I say, okay, who should I call? I have a lawyer friend,
a commercial disputes lawyer.
I say, hold on a second, I know somebody. So speaking to Christian, speaking, you know, I'm like, hey, babe, like, could you need a favor? I and I asked in a particular way. I said, could you take on like a pro bono case? Because on How to Get Away with Murder,
yeah,
Annalise always used to take on pro bono cases.
Okay, so a fictional TV show.
So I just said, well, I mean, hey, friend, like, I don't really want to pay the court fees like that. Like, would you mind taking on the pro bono case? This girl, dead ass, she was just like, Rose, I can't take on that case. But you're a lawyer. I literally came to do your celebration. So if you're, how come you're not lawyering today? Like, you can't pick and choose when to lawyer. It's like, oh, I'm a commercial lawyer. Okay.
But do you know what?
We would uncommercialize yourself and we, come and be a road traffic lawyer.
We would have been in that court, both, you and I just staring at each other. You know that meme? That meme of people V?
Yeah.
They're just staring at each other. That would have been us, because I would have been like, judge,
No, but guys,
I don't know what this is about.
Do you know? But do you know what really? Let me tell you what the was it salt to injury?
Well, adding salt to the.
Let me tell you.
Wound, yeah.
This year, so this case was last year. Thank God, a bus case. By the way, shout out my lawyer, who I ended up having to pay for.
The real criminal lawyer that helped you. Thank God for him.
Shout out him. Hope he's doing well. So then this year, I'm just watching, you know, just on social media, just looking at what my friend's up to. I see on her story, she's doing a pro bono case. I said, I know that ain't who I think it is. And I said, wow. So you're doing pro bono for other people, but
that
your friend
work.
Of over a decade can't do pro bono. Anyways, I just want to say, guys, don't. Sometimes your lawyer friends won't always come in.
It's like going to a dentist and saying, my foot hurts. They'll be like, okay. Yes, I'm a medical guys, professional, I was, but like, I don't know this.
I was so gagged when you said you couldn't help. I was like, what do you mean you can't help? Didn't you study this? Like, I was, yeah, quite like, that was quite an ordeal. And even when I was trying to send you this stuff, you were like, yeah, babe, this is not my field. Shocking. Yeah. Quite shocking. Sorry. Anyways, I did bring up that for a reason. So obviously, you're a lawyer, babe.
Mm.
And obviously, I know you work like late hours sometimes and things like that. How do you feel like that impacts your like diet, your nutrition, your fitness lifestyle? Because I remember like when I had a season when I worked night shifts, and I'm not saying you're doing night shifts, but it was so like, it's like I'm sleeping in the day, or like I'm eating, like my eating schedule is different. It's like backwards. But then it's like when I'm technically awake, it's like 2 a.m. And it's like, in this 2 a.m., am I trying to eat a salad at 2 a.m.?
No.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, how does that impact you? Because I think there are a lot of people who work-life balance is a real thing that people are trying to navigate.
No, it's really, really difficult because it's like, I can't meal prep.
Mm.
I feel like also, first of all, okay, working in the office, because I do hybrid, so I work in the office and I work at home. When I work in the office, first of all, why are the prices so high in central London?
Oh yeah,
like you go into Pret.
Oh, like, please don't even start with them.
Yeah, Pret, yep. Leon, all of these places, I it's like daylight robbery.
Yeah,
so first of all, I'm paying so much just to eat, and I'm just pissed off because it's like, why is this so expensive?
Yeah.
But also, like, the choices aren't great because it's just, like, sandwiches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And whatnot. So I feel like in the office, I can't manage my food as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm limited in choices. Mm-hmm. Working from home, I think working from home has been, like, a life changer.
Yeah. Because
what it means is that I can actually cook a little bit more.
Yeah.
Let's say I've got training for, like, an hour or something.
Yeah.
I have my laptop open. Yeah. I'll just be cooking away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
once
that training is over, I'll go back and work properly.
Yeah.
So I feel like that proper helps me in terms of like managing what I want to eat at home. But there was also some days I'm working so long that I can't even get away from my computer. So that's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I just have to be really strict with myself. Mm. Make sure I do like a food shop.
Yeah.
Got all the right food and ready.
Yeah. Because sometimes I feel like when we have a tight schedule, like let's say, you're so busy, you can't really like meal prep and stuff. See, like the whole bread thing. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when I would reach for things like that.
Yeah.
So like my issue is more like I have a sweet tooth. So mine would be like biscuits, chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it in the house, but let's say I did and I'm really busy. You cannot pay me enough to go stand there and cook anything.
Yes.
I just want to grab and eat. And then like you're just getting the sugar rush. So now you want more of it. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I think trying to find a way to eat responsibly, is that the right word? But eat like well. Like being more mindful of your eating, but you also know you're literally pressed for time. It's a very hard thing to.
It is really hard,
like, especially because your job is like that all the time as well.
Yeah, and I've got a sweet tooth as well, and I feel like when I need to concentrate and I need to get something over the line, mm-hmm. I'll reach for something sweet because mm-hmm. I guess I can get that little buzz.
Yeah.
I can like just type away.
Yeah.
But that's not good because, you know, we've got all of the wrong things in like chocolate and sweets and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it's like, what I'm looking for is something that is healthy but still gives me that like alertness. Mm. So like, I don't really drink coffee and I used to drink energy drinks.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like drinking like the sugar free version, mm-hmm. which still kind of gives me a little bit of a buzz, but you know, hopefully less sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But I still need something that I can go to when I need to like basically like zone mm-hmm. in and mm-hmm. get something done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something really hard to find that's healthy.
Mm-hmm. So I know somebody over there is going to side eye me and say that I'm Dr. Sebi. But I do.
You're going to be like, oh, if you eat the right food, yeah. you'll have the right energy.
Is you lot knowing my script? Is you lot knowing what yeah. I'm going to say for me? No, but genuinely, guys, I'm just listen to me. I'm telling the truth. I do feel like when you eat whole foods, calorie dense? Like dense foods, anyways, that mm-hmm. are like whole foods. I genuinely feel like.
You feel more energized.
Just like, sis, you see, like, this whole how do I wake up and just, like, I'm just bouncing off the walls, or whatever. Like, I just feel like there's certain things I just stick to. Like, for example, I genuinely hate kefir yogurt.
Oh, yeah.
Like, disgusting. Nasty. But I'm telling you, that thing, what it does for my gut, I have it every day.
I need to know, how do you know something tastes disgusting and still eat it? Because
I get it. I get what you're asking.
I've tried it and I know it's nasty.
Yeah, I hear that.
Why would I then buy it? I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, how do you get past that mental, like, no, I don't
know. Because
like
I think, do you know what I think? And my therapist said this on this episode. Mm-hmm. I think we think too much about how we feel. I think it's too much about, I feel this doesn't taste nice. It's all about taste. She literally said it's all about taste, it's all about feeling. And whilst those things can be true, we also then have to override that and be like, but is it good for my body? Mm-hmm. And I think that's how I feel about a lot of this stuff. So okay. With like the kefir yogurt, I can acknowledge this does not taste nice. It does. And like, so because it doesn't taste nice, I don't feel necessarily like amazed about drinking it. But I will mix that with like my mixed berries. So like, let's say strawberries, mm-hmm. Blueberries and stuff, and mix it in a smoothie. Sometimes when I used to first start drinking, I would hold my nose because I did not like the taste.
Mm-hmm.
I put chia seeds in it just so that it would get my gut moving. So in the morning, like, I've gone to the toilet, just all this stuff. But it's almost like I had to remove my feelings and taste to the side and be like, but Rose, this is genuinely this
there's
year.
Something in your brain that, like, I need to know what you're unlocking in your brain to allow that to happen. It's something that you're just unlocking that I think haven't been able to.
No, you have. It's discipline, babe. You said it earlier on. It's literally like, think about with your studies, when you're doing law school. Not every day you want to open a book and write.
It's true. It's
but
true.
Why it's were you true. Doing it? Because you had to move past... There's an end goal. You have to think past, how I feel and whether this thing's motivating.
Fair.
That's that same thing that I think.
I guess it's what's it called? Transferable.
Transferable skills.
Okay, fine. I need to remember that.
Yeah, and I just apply it. So I have that. And literally, even I posted on my story, I think literally 2 days ago, I said, guys, I'm even tired of posting the same meal for breakfast because it's boring. Sometimes I just eat and it's not even for taste. And it's so sad sometimes to think like that. But like I said, end goal in mind, like treat it like your end goal is to become a lawyer. Like, I treat it like that. Like, that's how seriously I take it. And don't get me, there's times that I've slipped up. Absolutely. It's not every single day that it's like I'm this on go. But for the most part, I try because I think it gets to a point where I need to stop complaining that I'm bloated. Like, it's just that I'm tired of complaining that I'm bloated. And this thing helps to blow.
To be fair, your health is quite good, but have you ever thought about doing those gut testing kits?
I haven't thought about it. I've seen them. I haven't thought about it though, no. I have, but I've seen them. Yeah,
I'm going to try it.
I think, like, seeing more people talk about gut-friendly stuff, you know, I was just curious and stuff like that. And then when I started having these things that, you know, allegedly good, like even like kimchi, there's some kimchi I've had which I like, some of it I don't. Sometimes it's like, I'm eating it and it's like, this is strong.
Yeah.
Once again, listen, there's a goal in mind.
I just think you're a better person than me.
Babe, it's the same principles you use to get,
yeah,
to become a lawyer.
I'll try.
But do you know what it is? I think we have to also be honest, it's values. So like, how much I value this the way you would value becoming a lawyer.
Yeah,
put it up there.
And I think because I've only recently started to be,
health conscious.
Sounds better than insecure. Yeah, now that I've recently started to become health conscious, it's only a recent I'm having to like bring it up on the value list. Because whereas before, because I didn't have the weight like sticking to me,
yeah,
I was able to just get away with not caring about what I was eating.
Yeah. I think value systems play a big part in how disciplined we are of certain things. It's like people who are saving for a house. So some people be like earning crazy amount of money. Someone on like half that salary. You're like, how do you save? How do you? And it's because they value the end goal of getting a house. Where somebody else is like, I'll get a house in 2-3 years. It's not that deep, but like, I'm cushy. And I see. I feel like for me, health is just up there for me. So. Yeah. And like I said, I'm definitely not somebody who's like every single morning. No, there are times where I'm literally just having McDonald's because I cannot care. I just don't care about it. But I think that's the motivator. And I think once you like have that little switch, that's when, like, there was a time I would run in the winter. There was a time I'd run 10K. And even when I look back at Rose back then, I'm like, how did you do that? No, I valued it. I cared. I wanted to do it. And I think that is what I would say is like the icing on the cake for anybody on a fitness journey for that fact, actually, because you can say you want to lose weight. You can say you want to go to the gym. You can say I've got a holiday coming up, but you're passive with it. It's just like a nice to have. But when it's like a should have, like it was a must have, you treat it differently.
I agree. I think I'm coming to you. I think I've been passive for quite some time. But yeah. I think I'm getting to the point where you're at.
Yeah.
You're at.
Go for a run. You know your house is actually my running route. I think I told you many times.
My sister says she's seen you.
Yeah. That's my route. That's your whole neighborhood.
I've never seen you, but my sister says she's seen you. But I'm like, good. Yeah. I feel like if I saw you, I don't know what you want me to join you.
And you know, I'd absolutely pull you out the house and be like, follow me. For the last half of it. Yeah, because I think by your house, I'm like at 2 to 2.5K around your house. Yeah. That's been my route for like 4 years, you know.
The same route,
yeah. Wow. But I think it's because, like, you know when someone's like your first route, so it's my go-to.
How long does that take you?
So back in like 2020, that would take me 28, 29 minutes to run like mine all the way back to like for a 5K.
Yeah.
And now I'd say that would take me like 32, 33 minutes.
Okay. I would have thought more.
I think when I first started running, but I think just endurance, just because I've been doing it for some time. Mm. But yeah. And that hill, that's real turbulence for me, but it's good. Feel it in your brain.
That is, because that's the hill that goes to Tesco's. So there's been many times where I've been like holding bags and I can feel it. I'm just walking. So you running?
You'll join me. Don't worry. 2025. You'll join me.
You never know.
You know, someone's like original like villain gym story. Like gyms, whatever. Then you see them now marathons, collecting medals.
Maybe.
Knowing you.
That's what they know me. If I get into it, I'll be like, I have to do my marathon. Like, what else would I do? Like, of course.
No, it's the next thing. Yeah, I can imagine. And I'll join you for that marathon. Not right now, but. So, my love, this has been a great conversation, by the way. I do love having friends here because it just feels just
so nice, isn't it?
Yeah, just like, just relax a little bit. Yeah. I know you're not going to say anything too crazy. Like, you know.
You hope?
I hope.
I was just like saying all your secrets.
I'd actually say cut the camera through. Like, can we switch the plug off? Like, cut it out. But no, it's been great having you here. I think it's been really insightful for, I guess, people who have been, because it's a common thing you'll hear when people talk about, like, where did this weight come from? Like, you've just been a slim gym your whole life. And now it's like, well, to you, you've put on a lot of weight. Yeah. Some of us are like, actually just getting thicker. Like, the hips are hipping, the bum is bumming. But
yeah.
For you, it's different. But I think it is common. I think Chev came and spoke about that actually on one of her episodes as well. So thank you for coming to share that, talking about, you know, your anemic lifestyle as well and your work-life balance. Do you have any advice for anybody who, I guess, resonates with this, like really like hears what you're saying and is living similar things? Do you have any advice for them?
For what exactly though?
I'd say the work-life balance and also like just adjusting to your new body and like trying to like be proactive when something you really don't care for.
For the work-life balance, I feel like you have to take it, I think you sort of put this point as well, about like, you just have to take it really seriously. Mm-hmm. And what that means for me sometimes is I will block it out in my work diary, meaning that nobody can put a meeting
in that time,
in the time I'm going to the gym.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be as transparent as possible to people. Obviously, sometimes I have to change it, But like, as I feel like if I put into the diary that I'm at the gym for this particular amount of time, you shouldn't be bothering me. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I'm slacking from work, because it just means I'll come back online and I'll just do more work afterwards.
Yeah.
And I feel like just that, you know, the whole point about looking after yourself first, you can't pour out from empty cup, right? So I know if I'm not healthy, I won't be at my best. Mm-hmm. I won't be a great lawyer if I'm not healthy, if I'm like, my mental health isn't great and my physical health isn't great. Mm-hmm. So I know now that I've got to prioritize that in order to become a better person, not just in work, but even to like my family and friends.
Yeah.
So just taking it really seriously, knowing that it's for the good, basically,
yeah,
for the future.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've seen how people look in their 30s when they haven't been looking after themselves, mm-hmm. and I don't really want to be that type of person. Mm-hmm. So I want to take it seriously now, so I can get to a better place for the future.
Love that. That was really wholesome.
You've
been quite a wholesome babe on this episode. You're not giving Raver excuse. this is why you treat yourself as Christiane today. It's fun. No, thank you guys so much for listening. We've had a great time. It's been a really funny conversation. Please remember to follow Christiane on socials, actually. I'm going to put your socials in the description box.
Sure.
But you don't use socials like that all the time.
No. Yeah, I'm not good these days.
Or even on TikTok, you don't be opening things I'd be sending, but it's fine. No, it's fine. We're not gonna air out a date laundry, all right? We're not. But I will put Christiane's details there. But even just to connect with you, like anyone who's thinking about going into law,
any
upcoming like lawyers, definitely go to Christiane for advice. Please remember to connect with the podcast, The Weight of It Pod, on all socials. It's me, Run with Rose, on all socials too. And we'll be back with another episode soon. Bye, guys.